Hi, welcome to Straight Talk. This is Randy. We're going to look at the book of Philippians, chapter 4, and use that foundation to evaluate our lives. So let's read it. It's starting in verse 8. It says, "For the rest, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is worthy of reverence and is honorable and seemly, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely and lovable, whatever is kind and winsome and gracious, if there is any virtue and excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think on and weigh and take account of these things." In other words, fix your minds on them. "Practice what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me," and this is Paul speaking, "and model your way of living on it, and the God of peace will be with you." I also want to tie in a portion that was stated in the book of Job, chapter 31. Job says this, he said, "I made a covenant with my eyes, not to look with lust at a young woman." He goes on in verse 2 and says, "For what has God above chosen for us? What is our inheritance from the Almighty on high? Isn't it calamity for the wicked and misfortune for those who do evil? Doesn't he see everything I do and every step I take?" You know, with God's commands from Scripture, the narrow road follower of Jesus needs to evaluate everything that they look at or focus their minds upon. And since America has become a culture that communicates and interacts through media instead of personal contact, we need to question and evaluate the morality of this section of our lives. We now make decisions, purchases, build relationships, and establish our opinions and beliefs on what we see and watch. But God demands His followers to make these choices primarily based on His commands. We use His word first. So what makes a media creation good? Is one television program good and another evil? Does a certain song have lyrics that make it wrong for a narrow road follower of Jesus to listen to? What about a best-selling novel? By what standards can a Christian establish and make sure they are pleasing the Lord Jesus and not angering Him in this area of our lives? Are there biblical principles that move this conversation away from opinions and into a holy biblical way of life of obedience? I think that's why we're using Philippians 4 as our foundation today. Let me ask you, would you agree to these concepts when evaluating modern American media? For example, number one, when evil is glorified, then the entertainment is evil. How about this statement? Number two, when evil is shown to be wrong, it may be good, or sometimes still may be evil. Or this third one, try this on for your thoughts. When evil is shown as the norm with no consequences, it is wrong. And number four, when the truth of the Bible is twisted or Christ and His ways and commands are attacked or condemned, obviously, this would be evil. So let me ask you this. Are there people who are not Christians intentionally creating works, in other words, books, music, games, movies, to propagate their religious opinions or their social atheistic agenda or immoral standards in a deceptive way? For example, do witches write music to proselyze people? Do anti-Christian artists blaspheme Christ on purpose through their movies? Have you ever considered there are wicked people trying to destroy what you believe through their art form? Now, obviously, everyone is not intentionally trying to destroy the Christian faith, except the devil and his invisible spirits. But there are many who subtly insert characters and storylines into well-loved TV shows to wear down your defenses of the new sin that they want to be recognized as normal in culture. booze, sex outside of biblical marriage, and pure good selfishness are carefully crafted to be normal and wonderful and sought after. But there are many others who are just pawns chasing their own lust and greed and getting rich from their fans. And yet, in spite of their ignorance to the darkness that surrounds them, there is a consolidated front of wickedness that overshadows the entire entertainment media of America. For example, have you ever watched a television show or movie and the network gave a disclaimer that the following program is only the opinion of the creators and it did not reflect their view? I've never seen one before a movie or television program that blasphemed God, glorified illegal drugs, immoral sex, murder, revenge, greed, socialism, communism, abortion, vampire movies, mediums, witchcraft, or other occult themes. I could make a longer list here. No, I've only seen this happen before a Christian show that proclaims Jesus. As far as I can tell, the only thing the networks and producers disagree with and find revolting is my God and Savior Jesus. You know, the Bible warned us 2,000 years ago by stating, "We know that we are of God, and the whole world around us is under the power of the evil one." That's in 1 John chapter 5, verse 19. Things have not changed in the modern age. Even without an intentional attack against Christ, the media outlets are under the influence and power of Satan and are those who oppose the good news. That's found in 2 Timothy 2:25. Now, in contrast, Christians are most always pictured as hypocrites, liars, weak-minded, or out of touch with the modern world with no answers for mankind. Their science is stupid, but the theory of evolution, carefully masked as science, has soundly silenced the church in modern times, according to the History, Discovery, and whatever other science channels there are. The ideas of the Christian principles that actually founded America are nearly erased today from the media and most news outlets. With that much of the entire entertainment industry, faithless, empty American atheists who believe in themselves, seek fame, and live to party every weekend are the actually exciting, fun people to watch. Reality shows focus mostly on the fringe and extreme of the immoral society. Mediums help society, but Christians do not factor into our modern lives. Everlasting life is attained through sucking someone's blood, according to movies, but not trusting the shed blood of Jesus for redemption. Since we are regularly shut out of the conversation in the media with disclaimers, no wonder the vast majority have rejected Christianity, and they really know little about Jesus and true history. But we're not silent believers as we try to proclaim the good news of Jesus to our generation. So, Christian, when you search for what you will watch or listen to, in other words, fix your mind on, do you make choices by the following standards? This is standard number one. Show reverence to God's will and focus on honorable relationships that promote biblical marriage and moral purity. Are you drawn to movies and TV series that promote lovely and lovable and whatever is kind relationships and lifestyles and attitudes? Or do you like to watch criminals and losers and thieves get away with murder and sex and greed with no consequences? Well, listen, God makes it clear in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 3, "Let there be no sexual immorality, impurity, or greed among you. Such sins have no place among God's people." The Bible is clear and exposes the whole world as enslaved and driven by lust and greed. It's not God's will for us to enjoy those things. If you love God, you must evaluate your entertainment. Are the storylines you watch based on immoral sexual relationships that God condemns? Are the stars living together, not married, and glamorizing and romantically making wickedness look so good? Is the story so romantic and the buzz so positive that you overlook and excuse the immoral truth of the story or song that you listen to? Or even worse, do you make excuses that there's nothing to watch if you make a moral stand so you have to watch something? That's compromise. Remember, Paul continues in Ephesians 4 by stating in verse 5, "You can be sure that no immoral, impure, or greedy person will inherit the kingdom of Christ and of God. For a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world." Are your favorites and heroes the people that offend the Lord God? How can you dishonor God in this way if you claim to be a follower of Him? Let's look at standard 2. Only watch the sitcoms and comedies that are winsome and gracious and full of virtue. Look back at Ephesians 4, verse 4. It says, "Obscene stories, foolish talk, and coarse jokes, these are not for you." Let's look first at what the idea here of obscene stories is from the Greek idea. The word says obscene or indecent conversation. Literally, that which is shameful, that God calls shame and is shameful. That's what he's saying not to listen to or partake in. The second is foolish talk. That word is the kind of talk which is insipid, senseless, stupid, and foolish, which is not fitted to instruct, edify, or basically it's like chit-chat with nothing in common, but this world, there's nothing there. The meaning is that Christians should aim to have their conversation sensible, serious, and sincere, remembering the words of the Lord Jesus, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. That's out of Matthew 12:36. Now, the third mentioned word is the idea from coarse jokes. And that from Ephesians 5:4 says that which is light and trifling in conversation to that which is known basically as jesting. For example, when speaking of sex, you can use romantic poetic language, or you can use medical terminology, or you can use filthy street language. What are the lyrics to your music that you listen to every day? Not only that, some comedians can be cruel with their jesting, then claim they're just kidding. Listen, there is no excuse for hurting people that way, nor is it funny. Are your favorite sitcoms or cartoons or songs or video games or movies filled with silly and corrupt talk and layered with coarse jokes? It's not of God. The word says, "For be sure of this, that no person practicing sexual vice or impurity in thought or in life, or one who is covetous," which means has lustful desires for property and things, "he is an idolater." He's an inheritance to the, he doesn't have the inheritance to the kingdom of Christ or God. "Let no one delude and deceive you with empty excuses and groundless arguments for these sins. For through these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of rebellion and disobedience." How can you enjoy what God says he's going to send people to hell over? This can't be. There's nothing funny about watching people practice the spiritual crimes God will severely and eternally judge and send them to hell for. There's nothing romantic about immorality. There's nothing, it's shameful. There's nothing exciting about murder and bloody slaughter on television. You are ordered to guard and keep the deposit entrusted to you. Turn away from the irreverent babble and godless chatter, with the vain and empty and worldly phrases and the subtleties and the contradictions in what is falsely called knowledge and spiritual illumination. In other words, don't build your life with excuses using the Bible to excuse what you're doing. Let's look at the third standard. Make sure God commands what you fix your mind on in entertainment. Make sure He drives that. Don't enjoy witchcraft and the occult for fun and entertainment. God's word is crystal clear. But in America, the darkness of full-blown rebellion rules the culture. Halloween has become the favorite holiday because most Americans have turned from God. But Christians have compromised and joined them in the harmless fantasies of witchcraft and the occult as if it's not real. Here's some scripture that reveals God's will when Israel entered into their land, proving it is real. It says, when you come into the land which the Lord your God gives you, you shall not learn to follow the abominable practices of these nations. There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or daughter pass through the fire, or who uses divination, or is a soothsayer, or an augur, or a sorcerer, or a charmer, or a medium, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all who do these things are an abomination to the Lord, and it is because of these abominable practices that the Lord your God is driving them out before you. This is Deuteronomy chapter 18. He also speaks in 1 Samuel, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as idolatry and teraphim, which means a household good luck god, because you have rejected the word of the Lord. See, they practice witchcraft and soothsaying, the Bible says, and sold themselves to do evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. It angers God when people practice witchcraft. It's not entertainment and fun. It also says in the word he practiced soothsaying, talking about a king, used witchcraft and consulted spiritists and mediums. He did much evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. Listen, there are not good witches and bad witches, white witches and black witches. There's not good mediums and bad mediums and so on. All is detestable sin gaining power from God's enemy, the devil. Any refusal or compromise to accept God's will in this area is stubbornness, which is breaking God's law and called idolatry. Please, do you understand what these words actually mean? The soothsayer tries to predict the future. Today it is your neighborhood fortune teller. What's your sign? Are your fortune tellers good on TV? The augur was a religious official who interpreted omens to guide public policy by the will of the gods. The necromancer is the one who practiced magic or sorcery. We generally just call them witches today. In Deuteronomy 18:11, the word charmer means a dealer in spells, especially one who, by binding certain knots, was supposed to thereby bind a curse or a blessing on its objects or people. In Isaiah 3:3, the words eloquent orator should be basically a skillful enchanter, another wicked thing according to God. The medium is someone who serves as an intermediator between the living and the dead. He consulted several mediums, it says. In Isaiah 19:3, the word charmers is the rendering of the Hebrew word meaning necromancers or whisperer to the dead. Wizards are pretenders to supernatural knowledge and power. A knowing one, a wise one, as the original Hebrew word signifies. The Merriam-Webster Dictionary explains that divination is the art or practice that seeks to foresee or foretell future events, or discover hidden knowledge, usually by the interpretation of omens or by the aid of supernatural powers. All of them are trying to get empowered by the gods or the demonic forces. Anyone notice that charm, the show of the cult, the Vampire Diaries, Grimm, Ghost Whisperer, Medium, Wizards of Waverly Place, Harry Potter, Angel, Ghost Hunter, Supernatural, on and on, are popular with America? The abominable practices, the hateful actions of these nations is now harmless and entertaining television, according to America. It seems every cop show has an episode of a psychic hero who has hidden knowledge and solves the case. And who dares to question the networks and Disney with such stupid resistance when it is just fiction? Listen, Christian, my question is this. Can you enjoy what God clearly says he hates in the Bible and causes sin? What about movies and shows that were once left as late-night B-movies because they were so repulsive and are now being made mainstream as the culture values Halloween instead of Thanksgiving and the real Christmas, which I'm talking about the birth of Jesus? This gory mindset of blood and guts is filling movie theaters with a steady flow of evil. Do you think God objects to such murderous entertainment? Here's the word, but you shall not eat flesh with the life of it, which is its blood. And surely for your lifeblood I will require an accounting. From every beast I will require it, and from man, from every man who spills another's lifeblood, I will require a reckoning. Whoever sheds man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God he made man, Genesis 9. In other words, God's going to use government to punish those who murder. As America rejects Jesus more and more, they fill their lives with bloody, pagan interest, and lifestyles of ancient times. But God's word demands us to take no part in and have no fellowship with the fruitless deeds and enterprises of darkness. But instead, let your lives be so in contrast to that you expose and reprove and convict them. For it's a shame even to speak of or mention the things that these people practice in secret, Ephesians chapter 5. If it is a shame to speak or mention such things, it sure should be a shame to watch them in movies and read the books and enjoy video games imitating that evil, murderous practices that they're condemning in the scripture. Those old pagan cultures used to dance themselves into a sexual and bloody frenzy for wild pleasure and to worship their gods. The Bible says, and they cried aloud and cut themselves after their custom with knives and lances until the blood gushed out of them. 1 Kings chapter 18. They also cut themselves for decorations and ritual practices. The Bible also says, you shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor print or tattoo any marks upon you. I am the Lord. That's Leviticus 19. And today, so many of those old habits are appearing in movies, practiced by rock bands, and copied by the American public. Who cares, right? It's just a harmless entertainment, according to opinion. So, Christian, I ask you, does your favorite movie or show glorify thieves like Ocean's 11, 12, or 13? Does your music contradict God and glorify immorality, giving praise to the devil and his ways? How about examining the Bible? You know, you'll find war and murder and all kinds of evil inside, but God's word warns, for it is a shame even to speak of or mention the things that such people practice in secret. But when anything is exposed and reproved by the light, it is made visible and clear. And where everything is visible and clear, there's light, Ephesians chapter 5. Then, you know, there's no witch or Satanist that secretly reads Christian novels for pleasure. They're not hypocrites, but faithful to their beliefs. They do not rush out to every new Christian movie at the theaters. If they have any connection with churches, it is to secretly or openly destroy them. What do you do, Christian? Let me just challenge you with some final thoughts. You know, the Bible is the true standard for good entertainment. It's accurate history and amazing drama, but plainly it condemns evil. God's book is the correct standard to use for determining your entertainment choices because it is filled with romance and intrigue, action and adventure, but clarifies right from wrong, corrects us and teaches God's ways, plus exposes the consequences of evil and promises great blessings and a future for doing that which is right. With that in mind, I can say then good entertainment, in contrast to bad entertainment, is a reflection of the morals, the attitudes, and life that God enjoys, while correcting wrong and bringing justice to the downtrodden. It is illustrating genuine love instead of selfishly following a person's dreams or lust or greed or whatever. You know, it goes also for comedy. Comedy is funny, not dirty or insulting others. It's not good entertainment if it reflects and focuses on the things that anger God. And even if it shows evil as evil, if it does not fix your mind on the sad consequences of evil and direct you to goodness, it leaves people without hope and still is bad entertainment. What about music? Will you go through your music collection and remove the songs that blaspheme God, use his name in vain, and glorify evil? Would you take those out if you love God? Will you stop reading novels and watching movies that make lust and greed its selling point or feature sex scenes? What about television? Will you make sure your television shows do not make sin normal and acceptable? All your entertainment. Will you add entertainment that actually glorifies God and shows justice? Will you cut down on your wasted chit-chat and instead focus on what really matters to God? As Paul explains, fix your mind on what God says is virtue, that which is noble and excellent, not evil. The statement from Genesis still applies today also. Quote, "The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination and intention of all human thinking was only evil continually. And the Lord regretted that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved at heart." That's Genesis chapter 6. Christian, are you here to glorify God? Please step out of the darkness and make the Lord smile. Thank you for listening. Any comments or questions, please look at our website and send us a message. God bless you. Seek to be a true follower of Christ and be obedient to Him. Don't be afraid to stand out in a dark world with the light of Jesus. Till next time, God bless.